The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, Studio 66, chock full of talent and ready to roll. Let's get this thing going. Is it? I was just about to say June is here, but I'm not sure June is here yet.
Maybe by the time a lot of folks are listening to this, it's June, right?
Yes.
June
but
Eve.
The finals are here, and I'm allowed to say finals and use the plural version because two finals are here. The NHL final has begun. The NBA finals are nigh, or depending on when you're listening, perhaps they've already tipped off as well.
One final is on schedule as it should be. The other is an abject failure when it comes to start time. Okay, great. You had it scheduled for June 1st. Well, both teams have been finished for 8 days. Let's go.
People can't modify their life schedules to move up the finals.
That's what I mean. It's like, really? We're waiting 8 days to get this thing started?
Meantime,
you've got to be kidding me.
People are throwing seafood on the ice on the banks of the Three Rivers.
It's a good-looking catfish.
It is good. You hear his voice. Let's introduce everybody here, and then we'll get into all matters sports and the game of life. And we have some serious game of life matters to tackle today, including Greg Allman's passing has me thinking about I listened to Eat a Peach, of course, over the weekend. I'm sure a lot of people did. That's not an unusual thing for me to do with my free time. But I want to talk about that. We have to talk about pro football. We have, obviously, the Seahawks situation, Tiger Woods. First of all, let's say hello to the woman seated to my immediate left. We'll start out with here. And starring. Instead, we're going to go with her first top billing.
Not an also. You're not an also today.
Not an also.
From NFL Media, if you're looking at anything NFL Media, you're very likely to see her face and or her words nearby. It's Cynthia Freeland, everybody.
It's Marianne's daughter here to steal the show. Back in the day, she had a mullet with a funky flow. Running marathons for her fitness goals. On the DDF. She got the stat control. Cause when it comes to the numbers, she's a gunslinger. She do the math in her head, she don't count fingers. No one to question the numbers, sure they waste to you. She's from Michigan, yo, it's Cynthia.
If I didn't know any better, Cynthia there was actually just mouthing the words to her own theme song.
I was doing the hand gestures for like, I don't kind of
want to. She did star in her own film, you know, in her own video, I should say.
Where do you come down on that money? Is it cool to sing the lyrics to your own theme?
I'll answer your question with a question.
Yes.
Is it okay to wear your own jersey to an event?
I was just going to throw the band t-shirt to see that band perform. Right. Yep.
Well, marathons, though, I will say that could be the one spot where it's okay to wear the marathon t-shirt.
No, I think you want to intimidate your foes. Wear another marathon shirt. Oh, you're running the Chicago Marathon? I'm going to wear my Boston.
Have an asterisk there, though, because sometimes the number, like your bib number, is actually part of your shirt. So you have to wear it then.
Well, that's fine. If you are required, forgive us, Cynthia.
I was actually saying
an athlete. Like if you're, like, you know, the story goes, I don't know if you remember, but Freddie Mitchell showed up at a Laker game in an Eagles jersey. And it's like, wait a minute.
Stop it.
What are you doing? You can't come to a Laker game and wear your own jersey. It's just odd.
Well, it seems, again, my ongoing battle with whether this is narcissistic or vain on my part, but I can't bring myself. People have been good enough. Backpage Press, in fact, is backpagepress.com. Track it down if you want one. You can buy T-shirts that it's sad that this is where we've gotten in society, but you can buy a Czech Republic T-shirt. But the sadness for me is I can't wear one.
Right.
Kind of chump would I be walking around in a Czech Republic T-shirt?
You really can't.
You should walk around in one. Wear your Czech Republic T-shirts.
Yeah, I need one. I would walk around in it.
Hey,
proudly.
Freeland, you and I both got a little bit of heat. I have to say, we appreciate any promotion from the NFL people out there, but the NFL sent on social media. You and I had a discussion a couple of days ago about Matt Stafford and is he good? The question was, after all this time in the NFL, let's see if we can assess it here and now. Is Matt Stafford an actually very good NFL quarterback or not? Somehow that turned into a headline that was sent out to millions of people.
I know.
Stafford or Big Ben Roethlisberger, and then I'm getting heat from all sorts of people. About,
I used one stat to compare something with Ben to like bring Sheck in it a little bit more, and then it turned into like this debate.
You're an idiot. And then, but the other thing that's crazy is that a lot of people were like, "Oh, I'll take Stafford." Stafford versus Roethlisberger. Why? That's not a
good conversation, though.
It is a good conversation.
Is Matt Stafford good?
It was a great, the original. Sometimes the NFL will trick you with those headlines.
Yes,
they'll
indeed.
Put something and you're like, wait, I said that?
I know it's probably not fair to Matt Stafford, but I feel like he could end up being our Jay Cutler, where it was.
That's exactly the comp I made.
I should have listened to it. My apologies.
No. I mean, you probably didn't listen to it because the headline was misleading.
I'm not getting into it here. I don't want to do the whole thing, but I will say, just to wrap it up, the thing that stands out is that Cindy and then a lot of people jump. Well, Stafford, you can't really compare him. He's been unfairly treated by his organization. He's never had an offensive line. Reminder, Roethlisberger won a Super Bowl behind one of the worst offensive lines.
But he got a chance to transition to being a pro player behind a good offensive line.
Behind a great defense. He had a great defense on the other side, and
correct.
His mistakes were not magnified like old Matty Stafford's are.
Any of the Steelers receivers, well, I guess Antonio Brown has entered that conversation. I was going to say he played with Calvin Johnson, who's in the conversation.
Pretty darn good.
Antonio Brown?
Top four or five.
Yeah,
top four or five. I guess AB is getting into there, too. All right, listen, we have a lot to kibitz about. Oh, it's Matt Money Smith also, half of the greatest radio show in all the land. And let me tell you something. I've been driving around in the car some here and there and listening to the state of sports radio and radio in general. And it is just – it really is – quite poor, and yet like an oasis out there in this
far too
aural mess is the Petros and Money Show. Track it down on AM 570 in LA and iHeartRadio. Now on a podcast too, right?
Yeah, you can pod it on the iTunes if you want to subscribe. Yes, available in hours, in interviews, in full show. However,
I really appreciate when things get cut up like that because I don't necessarily always have time to listen
the
to
4 hours.
Four whole hours, but
can be a little.
That was
much.
Like they like you snack. Didn't have to listen to the entire DDFP where we talked about the Lions and other things, but there was like a nice little 3 minute consumable chunk for you. Apparently, that was still too much for Matt Money Smith.
I just missed it. I follow too many people in my timeline.
I'm trying to keep
I need
my
to pare
chin
it down.
Up. All right, listen. Now we have much to discuss, but as I mentioned before the Memorial Day weekend got underway, I went out on Thursday. I had some free time. I had a few hours, and I was excited to watch Game 7 of the Pittsburgh Penguins and the who did they beat? The Ottawa Senators.
What a game.
The Wales Conference final there. And, yeah, it was great stuff, but I had a few hours, and me and the lady went out to a local establishment. You
kids
know, just
no
have
kids.
Some – no kids. Just went out.
Whoa,
but,
date night.
What? The two younger kids had been under the weather.
Uh-oh.
You know, they had a little bit of a stomach virus, and we thought we had avoided it. But on Thursday, I wasn't feeling great the whole day. And about 4:30 in the afternoon, we're sitting in this establishment, you know, happy hour style, just, you know, making our way. And I couldn't eat anything. And the
uh-oh.
Lady mentioned, like, I've never been around you when you can't consume food. You know?
I know you, Dave.
Yeah. And one thing, I you are a glutton.
You're an eater.
And not long after that, you know, it's that moment of no return where you think, I may have to puke. I may have to puke.
Uh-oh.
And then there gets to a point where, well, I'm going to puke.
This is going to happen. Where's
it's
going to happen?
And there's nowhere and there's nothing that can be done about it. Sort of like De Niro on the payphone at the end of Goodfellas. Like,
and that's it.
Yeah. That's it.
What do you mean? And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So
that's that. Nothing we could do about it.
And like Jimmy, you just started
in the restaurant. Or, like, did you make it home?
Well, there was we're on the front. It's a place called Hyperion Public in the Valley in Los Angeles. And we were sitting out there, and then when I knew it was coming, like, there was a – I stood up knowing, and I thought, all right, go make for the bathroom, of course. And then I you know, I, as an expert, I knew.
You're
not
going to
make it.
You didn't have enough time. Right.
I'm going to make it. So I just went right off the patio, and there's the valet stand right there. That's where I made my mess.
In his garbage can or just on the street?
Right. I mean,
right
eight feet from the stand.
I mean, as a former valet.
What was I to do? It wasn't a choice.
As a former valet, you're better off doing that in the restaurant than where we got to do our business.
Yeah. That, like,
in the restaurant?
I think so. Because
what would have been more destructive to their future business for me to make my hay all over their...
Yeah, I think the problem with the valet stand is, how long did it take to get that thing cleaned up?
Wow.
Restaurant, bang, they are out there. That stuff is gone.
It was a grand mess, too. This wasn't one that was sort of like, this wasn't the start of something.
Yeah.
This was all of it.
You know what?
This was...
Oh, boy.
It was everywhere, and the valet... was at a safe distance. I saw him off in the distance and didn't know where to go. But, I mean, you know, now the mess has begun. And then I, of course, turned around, went back, said, yeah, I mean, it's happened.
Did you at least stay at the valet stand and say, can
you
pull up
them?
number 216, please?
Did you tip them extra?
I tipped him, but we didn't
extra.
Park there. But I gave him money
because
I felt bad. We didn't even park. We street parked.
Yeah,
and
that's like the way to go.
But as I was, I said, "We got to pay the bill and get out of here." You know, who knows when round two is coming up, and in that amount of time, the valet made his way to the waiter, was kibitzing with the waiter, like, "Hey, you got to see what's right happening here." And I said, "That was
this dude
that was me." I was already taking glasses of water out and throwing it to diffuse it, but what was done was done.
Yeah.
Then I went home, watched the Penguins win, and then punctuated that victory by round two. It waited like 4 hours.
Yeah, nice of you.
It let you watch the whole game.
Now, the question is this, Cindy. When's the last time you threw up?
Well, it's been kind of a long time. I haven't gotten sick in a while, which is, knock on wood, that's like kiss of death.
Sometimes you can go a decade, two decades.
It definitely hasn't been a decade.
No.
But probably like last time I got the stomach flu, so like over a year.
It's unpleasant.
When you live in the cold, like I moved here from Connecticut, when it's cold and crappy, it makes it easier to get the
flu. One laid me out for the entire weekend.
That's
no
job. Were you trying to get a jump on your like summer diet? Is that really what was going on here?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Cut funny. Pounds.
Last time you puked?
I'd say probably last half decade. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Sickness.
I have not thrown up from booze in 20 years.
Me either.
So
no.
It's been a long time. So I'm going to go 5 years. And,
I see Emma VP's behind the glass. I'm sure
MVP.
She knows how to comport herself like a grown up. Sully, on the other hand, I imagine not. Sully has.
Sully, Boston.
Yeah, Sully's had his.
Oh, here we go.
Sully, last time.
It was actually a couple weeks ago.
Actually a couple weeks.
No. It was after a basketball game playing for 4 hours.
Okay. Workout throw up.
Post workout like ate a little too much and then it just went sitting well. So
you know, I did that at the Austin Marathon and I mailed someone money. When I ran the Austin Marathon, I was like running really fast for the first 10 miles. And then all of a sudden I was like, uh-oh. And I threw up in their front yard. And the rest of the marathon, I was reciting their address over and over again. And I mailed them
$20. What a stand-up lady you are.
I didn't really know what the going rate for puking in your front lawn was. So
that's very nice
I went
of you.
$20.
That's impressive.
Oh.
That's the worst. There's nothing I hate more than stomach issues. Which,
all right.
By the way, for all the kids listening, if you ever want to get out of a day of work or school, it has long been my contention. You just simply call and say, I have stomach problems. And there is no follow-up.
Nope.
There is no
Nobody
questioning.
Wants to know
details. There is they want nothing to do with you. Like, hey, I got a stomach. No problem. Well, if you want to take 2 days. Whatever you need to do.
Nobody wants to get it.
I can refute that with an anecdote from these very walls, but I don't have time for it. Money is pressed for time. So are we. Let's talk about Tiger Woods. Money dressed like Tiger Woods on a Saturday. Not a Sunday.
Not
actually, but
Tiger
it's funereal maybe appropriately.
Right.
Because I don't know. Is this it now? I don't know. Listen, we wish Tiger the best as a human being, but is this the final nail
for
a guy
I think
who
it just
has
it,
had a long...
It put it back in the news, but I mean, we knew. When you're talking 4 surgeries, and 2 of them are for a back, and now this is the 3rd back surgery, and he says he may need a 4th, I mean, that's when you pretty much know. I mean, golf is, you know, it's the swing is torque. It's build, torque, swing. It's a very violent move, especially the way Tiger does it. And I would say, yeah, you know, considering how good all the young players are, I don't see him catching them. I just don't. It's a damn shame.
It seemed not inconceivable, but it seemed like, I mean, what, 6 years ago, you would have said, boy, I mean, he's tracking now. You could start to do the math on, like, if he just gets 1 every 6 majors kind of thing.
Oh, I was doing he's going to get to 25.
No, I know, but I'm just saying conservatively, will he catch Nicklaus by that measure?
Yeah, to heck with 19, let's go 25.
Year and a half or so, he's going to get there, you know, and it should be relatively easy. So that leads me to this. Let's do it NFL style. This is very sports radio friendly money. This is what they do in sports radio. They take the big news item and then they transfer it to what the
debate.
Yes.
The
well,
debate.
But specifically, we turn the gaze back onto ourselves here being pro football. Which guy, which team left the most meat on the bone in your book, Freeland? Actually, unfair to start with you because Money and I were just kibitzing about this. Money, who would you say it what? Because and the pair it up with something else that's in the news is this Seahawks, a little bit of a brush fire, not a major thing, but not a 5-alarm fire just yet. But, you know, we talked in here with Cliff Averill a couple of weeks ago. We said, what's going on with Richard Sherman? Why would this even be happening? It was hard to figure out. And he had glowing things to say about Richard Sherman and his importance to the team. But still, you know, is Russell Wilson getting a pass from the all that kind of stuff? You know, I'm not throwing dirt on the Seahawks at this point, certainly. But if they don't go back to another Super Bowl, we will feel as though that they left meat on the bone. Two straight Super Bowls, you know, they were a yard away from two straight Super Bowls. If this is it, so that would be my one
right
potential looking forward. But looking back,
yeah, I know this is easy because it's where I grew up and I was in the middle of it. But you look at that '85 Bears team, considered the most dominant defense of all time, and as I run the parallel with Tiger, it's not just injuries, but there's something else. You had Buddy Ryan in the defense, who did not like Mike Ditka in the offense. You had Walter Payton, who was sort of being coaxed to retire early and purchase a team and be a minority face for a team in St. Louis that fell apart, so maybe he retired a little bit early. The fact that team only went to one Super Bowl, let alone won one Super Bowl, when you think about the Hall of Famers on that side of the ball. And then you had the McMahon sideshow. I'd have to say that's as close to the top as you're going to find. I mean, a single Super Bowl appearance for that amount of talent on that team.
Maurice Jones, you never know who's going to walk in the NFL media. Maurice Jones-Drew just happens by. What are we doing here? Maurice, what's the poop, fella? Look who he is, the UCLA's newest Hall of Fame inductee.
How about Muslim that, huh?
You, fella. There he
well
is.
Well deserved.
How are you, Maurice?
Well deserved.
We're getting
Can
Maurice
I get an A-clap? Can I get an A-clap? Huh? Can I get an A-clap? You. See. L.A. UCLA. Fight, fight, fight.
Oh, I didn't know. I say I was out of rhythm. I thought
sorry.
You.
See. It happens.
L.A. UCLA. Fight, fight, fight. There you go.
I think we need rhythm to go to the four shot.
Yes, we do. We're going to go to it right now, Maurice.
Getting you a chair, too.
That's fantastic, Maurice.
But to finish what you were saying there,
Bears,
Marty.
Bears, right? Meat on the bone?
I think you talk about something that underreported, and if this happened in the last 5 or 10 years with the social media and all that kind of stuff. Charles Martin of the Packers. Look this one up, kids. Use your search engine.
McMahon.
Look up Charles Martin of the Green Bay Packers and see what he does in 1986 to the starting QB of the reigning champion Chicago Bears. Charles Martin is a defensive lineman. McMahon throws the ball, beat, two beats. All of a sudden, Charles Martin picks up Jim McMahon and spikes him on his shoulder, and he's never the same again, and the Bears' dynasty run is thereby over. That's a pretty good call there. Anyway, real quick, let's break away from that to say hello to Maurice. So how have you been doing, fella?
I've been playing dad, Shaq.
Have you?
It's crazy.
It's been going well?
Yeah. I mean, no one's died, and everybody's going to school on time. We're getting good grades. I feel like I'm doing an okay job.
I'd say you're doing an all right job.
I just got to drop them off. Make sure they get there on time.
That's it?
That's my
job.
You
don't have to pack a lunch? You don't have to do the water bottles?
No. That stuff is already done the night before. You know, we're teamwork.
Gotcha.
It's dream work.
Well, what a pleasure and what a nice surprise to see Maurice go through here. Cindy, do you want to throw one in here? We're talking about on Tiger Woods. The most meat left on the bone for any guy or team in the NFL, you know, like you felt like, yeah, they were good, but they well.
Shaq was talking Seahawks.
Here's
I mentioned the '85 Bears.
San Diego Chargers, Air Coryell, Dan Fouts.
Certainly.
They never even got to a Super Bowl. That team never even reached a Super Bowl.
Championship
Tony Romo.
Game, that was it.
What about the Bengals? I thought the Bengals used to have a really good team back in the day, right?
They start the
White Bengals, yeah.
Right. They make it to the Super Bowl a lot and get blown out a couple times by the Niners.
Yeah, those are kind of two distinct. It's funny because the 80s begin or close it with Ken Anderson and Forrest Gregg coaching that team, and then they end it with Boomer Esiason in this sort of, you know, pretty potent offense under Weich, you say, and the closest they got was Lewis Billups drops an interception at the goal line in the fourth quarter, and then Montana rallies the Niners, and that's the closest the Bengals ever got.
Yeah, Chargers is a good one. I think that was like a 3-year window, right?
I'd say
it was like 78, 79,
78,
80
when they were
right there.
You have to make it to a Super Bowl, or do you have to win?
Underachieved. Basically.
Bills.
I mean, that seems like a
gold standard.
Yeah, didn't win a Super Bowl.
Rex Ryan's Jets. How about that?
Yeah, but they didn't have a quarterback, really.
But they drafted him fifth overall. We all thought he was a guy.
That's one of the weirdest things.
You go to two AFC championships back-to-back?
Is that, you know, so we're talking about that, and then Tigers sort of fall there.
I want to add something to the Tiger thing, though. You did see his distance is decreasing and decreasing.
Sure.
You've seen him totally. You knew his accuracy was going to go at some point. And now on top of this and then all his
I hear
troubles,
you. I hear you on that. But, you know, but the Sanchez thing, talk about a fall from grace. We talked about this with Kaepernick over the last month as well. If Kaepernick completes that pass to Michael Crabtree on the last throw in the Super Bowl 5-6 years ago, I can't imagine any of this is happening now. This
Harbaugh's Kaepernick, still their coach.
Harbaugh's probably still their coach. No matter what, Kaepernick isn't now regarded as a guy, well, we can't start him. He's a Super Bowl champ. Same thing goes. I know Mark Sanchez had a longer way to go just because he played in two straight title games. They needed a few more plays. But let's say he gets to a Super Bowl and wins it. How? I mean, the descent for Mark Sanchez has been pretty severe, too, since that second championship with the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they beat the Patriots in New England.
Right.
Right, and then they lose to Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
These aren't jive victims. I mean,
what was that Charger team, 14-2? They knocked off, I think?
Slapped them real good. Remember, they beat the Colts, too.
They just whipped them.
Whipped the Colts.
Physically.
Well, no, that Charger game, remember, was the Rodgers-Cromartie. I'm making that tackle. And
right.
That was that game. Right? Wasn't that game?
Yeah.
And then they went to the Colts the next week.
Antonio Cromartie.
Antonio Cromartie, yeah, exactly. Antonio
Cromartie. Yeah, and the game in Pittsburgh, we've talked about it ad nauseum here.
It was a punt return that broke that game open, right, by Santonio Holmes.
They should have. Well, I mean, the Steelers jump up big in that one, and I can't think of the back's name, the big back that they had.
Sean Green.
Sean Green is having his way on one particular drive against the Steelers. They have no answer for him. And inexplicably, on fourth and goal from the inch line, they give the ball to LT. Just give it to Sean Green there, and it would have been a very tight ball game there. They could have gone to a Super Bowl. Who knows what? Jets versus Cardinals in the Super Bowl? Jets would have had a real shot at winning that game. Who knows how history goes? You want to throw one in, Sydney,
as
well? You got the Bills.
Well, I
see
the
best.
Bills, but also, I mean, last year's Panthers, they were 15-1.
So true.
And
yeah.
Cam Newton, like totally all those rushes out of the zone read, and then all of a sudden in the Super Bowl, they can't rush out of the zone.
The Vikings had those at the end of the 90s. They had a series of QBs of all these remade QBs from Jeff George to Randall Cunningham and Warren Moon. They kept rolling them through there, and they were always good. And that team never got those.
Oh, even that Dante Culpepper, Randy.
Oh, and Culpepper.
That 15-1, right?
That team was ridiculous. Oh, that was the Gary Anderson team. No,
Cunningham was 15-1. One, the Gary Anderson miss, Orton Anderson wins it in overtime. But yeah, that's a great answer there.
What happened to that Culpepper team? They just got housed by the Giants, right? Wasn't that an Eli Manning Super
Bowl?
They
got whipped there, right? Yeah, and I'm thinking about the Houston Oilers were just victims of when they
were. Well, I think that's the biggest one for Tiger Woods. I mean, you talk about Tiger Woods where he got older, he got hurt, then all the other off the field stuff came on. You look at I watched the whatever it was about on the Bills, I want to say someone did like a thing on
a football life,
yeah. And it was like they started getting older, and then all the off-the-field stuff started to come in. Like, it was crazy, all in a matter of a year, and then they moved.
It's also weird. Yeah, that's a guy.
Oilers,
another team that's a little under the radar is the Kansas City Chiefs. It's hard to believe that team hasn't been to a Super Bowl since Super Bowl IV. Since Super Bowl IV, they haven't got. They're always good, aren't they? Don't they feel like the Chiefs are good about 2/3 of the NFL seasons we've watched? That they're a threat at least.
Like if you just go by quarterback eras, it's hilarious, right? It's like, oh yeah, it was the Steve DeBerg Chiefs, and then now it's the Alex Smith Chiefs. Like when you look at the quarterbacks, obviously the Montana was a different deal, and that would have been something if they could have figured that whole thing out. But then we had the Steve Bono. Remember, you had the mayor saying he was an embarrassment to the sport of football when they lost in the first round. And that was another good Chiefs team. Yeah, I mean, you're waiting. Maybe this is the year, huh? Maybe it's Alex Smith's opportunity here.
If he doesn't, he'll be out of there after this year.
Oh, yeah.
Next subject. I was in the bathroom earlier this morning. I walked into the bathroom, the men's one on the floor.
I like when he looks
here at
the rundown and he goes, next subject, something that's not even on here.
No, it's not. I wrote it down because I wanted to remember this. Maurice, I threw up over the weekend, but I'm all better now, just so you know. Anyway,
it's all good.
I went, so I walk in and there's Cole Wright drying his hands. You watched Cole Wright on Total Access and Beyond, of course, good fella. And he's drying his hands there. And as I walk in, I just give him a little poke in the ribs, you know, a little shot to the ribs there. And as soon as I did it, it felt wrong and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry, guys shouldn't touch each other.
Not in the bathroom.
In the public toilets. No. Right? So it's a hard and fast rule there.
I'm with you 100%.
No touching. What about Maurice, if Money and I have had to deal with this, surely you have glad handing from people. Hey, it's Maurice Jones-Drew. Surely you've been in a toilet and someone wants to shake your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just go like this.
Not here. Yeah.
Like,
not
I don't even do that with my kids.
Yeah, we'll do it outside.
Well, my kids are – so, you know, I've been playing dad and it's been awesome. And we go out to these public places and they have to go to the bathroom. And my youngest one, you know, he does a little kid thing. He pulls his pants all the way down.
I love that. Yeah. That's so funny.
And then he's like, you know.
The urinal, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, bro, like, it's time to wash your hands. And he, like, goes to grab my hand before he washes it. I'm like,
Straight to the sink, huh?
Yeah, go that way, pal. Yeah. I don't know where you get this from, but.
Jean-Claude Van Damme's thing when he was first starting to make his water sans diaper was like, I got to do pee-pee. I'd be like, all right, let's go pee-pee. And he would, wherever you were, you could be in the middle of an amusement park, he would start to pull his pants down and he was ready to go amidst hundreds of people. He'd be like, no. Then we got into a thing and his mama doesn't love it, but, you know, that's the one of the benefits of being a fella is that you can just go hide behind a sign somewhere. And
it's the best.
I got, you know, I listen, I'm no stranger to making my water in public spaces.
Sure.
I don't do it in front of people, but I go, you know, if there's a
If you're trying to look, you'll see. Is this what you're trying to say?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, if there's a tree that I can hide myself behind, I can do a nice little lean.
One of the great debates we've had on our radio show is, and it is polarizing, in your own backyard.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And our contention is absolutely. And
it's
all
my
of the,
backyard.
And all of the women are like, you absolutely cannot do that.
Oh,
and we're
right.
like, no, that's the benefit
oceans.
Of homeownership.
I don't even pee bodies of water. I can't
you
even.
You don't use the sea?
No. That's vile.
That's why it's there.
I'll tell you.
Vile.
When I first bought my house in the Bay Area, it was a thing for my oldest son. He would like, I got to go to the bathroom. And instead of going to the bathroom, he'd walk out the door.
Absolutely,
and
man.
Pee off the patio, off the step, onto the patio.
That's your house. It's your yard.
I told him, I was like, hey, bro, do your thing.
Right?
And like, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. He's just bare.
I recently, and I mean like 2 weeks ago, recently learned that most people pee in the shower. And I was baffled.
Really? No, save that water.
That's water
conservation.
Why do you think
what?
You're in public places you have to wear slippers?
Oh, I don't like
that.
I'm with Cindy on this one. I found out about 10 years ago, and I was equally as upset about it.
I actually, like, for a whole day was like looking at my friends differently, being
it's
like
2 gallons of water you're
chewing.
Oh.
I don't wear shoes in the turlet. What do I want to trudge through your mess?
You put it right in the drain.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
In a public shower, you're supposed to wear sandals.
Which is a wise thing to do.
Yes.
It's a wise thing to do.
If you don't.
Yeah. Cindy, how does this differ from where, like, you know, fellas, I've been known to strike up conversations with people. And a part of it amuses me.
I've been known.
Across the stall. It's funny to me to talk to people.
Not
I'm sorry. I want to amend that. Not stall to stall. Inappropriate to make conversation if somebody you know is in the stall. If I'm at the urinal and I recognize the sneakers or whatever under the thing, I love addressing them just because it shames them on some level. Like, hey, look who that is. There's Maurice in there. I know those shoes.
If I may predict, I'm gonna predict what Cynthia's going to say because this is one of the oddities, right? Women have zero problem with conversation.
Nope.
In stall to stall. They're totally fine with it.
Because we're always separate.
Exactly.
There's no, like, it doesn't mean anything different.
But, Cynthia, men
are
it's very awkward for a man to be doing his business on the toilet and have a conversation.
Right.
They don't want to do it. They don't want to say anything. They want
to
be left alone.
That's your most peaceful time of the day when you're sitting on that
pot. I know, but that's why it makes me laugh to bother people when they're in
there.
Like, you're ruining his, that's his 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 minutes.
Just let me relax
and do his thing.
There's a girl I worked with at ESPN that used to take selfies in the bathroom, and I don't mind calling her out because if you're going to go do that, you deserve to be called out, and it's on your Instagram.
Ooh.
She would set up she would
She's in the shower? Like, why she's looking in the mirror?
On the commode?
She liked how the lights made her look. So she would be sitting in there, and she would be fake laughing.
What?
Taking selfies.
Not in the can.
Not on the toilet.
No. Like, in the, like, using the mirror.
Oh, okay.
I thought you meant on the can.
But you'd be in the thing, and you'd hear her fake laughing.
What?
Like, to her, you could figure it out.
Linda Cohn is a weirdo.
Oh, definitely not Linda. I love Linda. No, it is.
Now you've opened up the can of worms, right?
Just
going to keep
Instagram.
Saying names until you
no,
go.
No, you won't guess her name. I don't think
Hannah Storm.
Susie Colbert.
No,
oh, come on.
It. Not the legends. It was no one who's a legend. No
Sam Ponder.
Nope, she was never in the office. So, but,
right,
but it's,
an,
Bob
it's Lee.
Incredible.
Bob
it's incredible.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Bob, I love Bob. He's
Bob Lee.
I don't know. I think when it's that, like, with kids, obviously, I don't know if you guys have to do this. Like, you'll be going to the bathroom, and they just open the door. No knocking.
Oh, yeah.
No, no.
Hey, I'm like, yo.
Right.
Inappropriate, right.
Yeah.
My man.
And then it's weird. It seems like something nefarious is going on if you're locking the door. So it kind of leaves you in a no man's land.
And then they just stay in there. Like, mine just stay in there and they talk to me.
Yeah.
And I've just come, over the years, I've just come comfortable just like having full-on conversations
like doing
with my
your
kids
business.
While I'm handling my business.
We're in full-on bribe mode with Football Baby right now. Like, if you do pee-pee in the potty, you get a popsicle.
Ooh.
Well, is that,
that's
is you
a big win.
That far, huh?
You do poop. You get a truck.
We used to
a truck.
A truck.
A truck.
Little
not like
truck.
No, an F-150.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
At least you picked the number one truck in America for the last 40 years straight. At least you got the right one. I will say this, if I may. It's actually not a shameless plug because I don't get paid to endorse their products. But somebody turned me on to this. We've had this conversation before, Dave, and I'll include the two of you. I spent a considerable sum of money when I remodeled my house on my own $1,000 Toto toilet commode with a remote bidet, and it oscillates, and it's got a heater and everything. I mean, it is something. It really is.
$1,000.
It really is something. It's the greatest investment I've ever made.
What kind of?
So it's a bidet.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you got the bidet.
Yeah, like it's got a little arm that, you know, comes out, and then it oscillates, so it cleans you real good.
What?
And then it's got a dryer that heats from underneath,
wow.
So you don't even have to use.
You don't even have to wipe.
You don't have to do anything. No, well, I mean, yeah, you gotta let the thing dry you anyway. There's a product called the Oak Leaf Bidet available at Amazon.com for $18. And you just split your water line and you mount it onto the back of your toilet.
I did not think that's where this
split. And it works perfectly. Now, it doesn't have the warm water. It doesn't oscillate. It doesn't have the dryer. But for $18, it'll change your life, people.
It is
the Oak Leaf. Hey. It's an $18 gamble that I'm asking you to make.
I've been in European
gamble.
Hotels where it's there and I never even tried it.
I grew up in Luxembourg.
You're missing out.
I used to like play with my dolls in it.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was. We stayed at UCLA. We used to stay at the Ritz Carlton.
Oh, please tell me this ends. Whoa. How I hope it ends.
And with Marie shaving in it.
No. And so I didn't know what it was. And so my boy was like, have you ever used that? And I was like, what is that? He goes, it cleans you. And I was like, it cleans you, but it wasn't like you have to like sit here and you have to walk
right.
over there.
It's a totally different deal.
Yeah, and it was. I was like, I don't feel comfortable getting off the pot.
Right.
And then walking over there.
That's what makes these great.
Right. So that's my
it's
issue.
It's just right there built underneath your seat. I'm telling you, $18, it'll change your life.
I'm going to think about it.
You will swear
Next
by
up,
it.
We got to get to all McCown versus Hackett. No, we don't have to talk about those things. I don't want to talk about that right now.
Yeah, I've got like
Next
10
up,
minutes left.
I know. We have a couple of things here. Matt Money Smith and Maurice Jones-Drew both fancy themselves NBA insiders. Well, I don't know why I put that on you. I consider you guys NBA insiders. And Freeland, you
– I talked about NBA and TV in my last job.
Jeez.
Is that true?
Yes.
How dare you insult Freeland that way?
Is that true?
And I've never
All right, great.
True.
Well, I was going to throw in this your way, too. Here we go. Here's my question. Everybody's talking about Jordan and LeBron, and I think it's nonsense.
It is nonsense.
All this business. Well, because you're
– No, I just think it's nonsense. It's like, who cares? Well, they're both really, really great. I mean, you want to pick Jordan, great. You want to pick LeBron, great. Let's go.
Exactly. I think you and I have pointed this out before. Classic sports radio debate is about 10 years ago, you could flip on the radio and there would be a heated Peyton versus Brady thing.
Right.
You're crazy. It's not even close. Like, yeah, it's close and you're not crazy either way, right? I mean, there's certain
just
things.
Pick your guy and you're fine.
It's the same thing. Five guys or In-N-Out. Like,
In-N-Out won, though.
Make really your pick.
Close? Better win.
Is it really that crazy if you go either way here? Here's the one. I did this a while ago, and I'm going to revisit it now with you guys. Which team wins a best-of-seven series? The 2016 first and second team All-NBA guys or the 1989 first and second teamers? Let me read them for you.
Okay, good, because I don't
know. More recent guys are LeBron, Kawhi, DeAndre Jordan, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook. Okay, that's your starting five. And then your best guy off the bench is Kevin Durant. And plus you can throw DeMarcus Cousins in there at center if you prefer.
Okay.
Those are those guys. The 89 guys, Chaz Barkley, the mailman Karl Malone, Akeem Olajuwon, MJ, Magic. That seems
– It's not even close.
And you come and you're coming off
peak.
The bench.
They're all in their prime.
With Clyde, you're coming off the bench with Clyde, and I guess I'll say Ewing.
It's not even close.
I think the issue is it's just a different game too. Like
right.
Those guys were getting actually fouled, and they were still completing. Like now, if someone blows on LeBron, he's like, and then
I mean, just imagine.
Yeah, I mean, or Steph Curry.
Not even close.
Not even close.
It's not even close.
I think the one that gets you is the mailman. People forget
how. See, to me, it's Akeem. It's the fact that you have the best, arguably the greatest perimeter defender of all time in Jordan, with one of the most versatile, will wreck you with the rim defenders in Akeem Olajuwon. Like you just
defense is what makes.
Yeah, that's the difference. Is Westbrook's got nowhere to go. He's got Jordan on him. Man up.
I don't know. Westbrook is pretty athletic.
Oh, he's explosive.
I mean, listen.
I just think Malone's a guy.
Barkley. I mean,
Barkley
who can shoot threes, you know, and you've got.
But listen, people get you know, people can get precious about history and, you know, that dig their heels in curmudgeon style.
Sure.
About, oh, it was better in my day. But do you really think, remember now who's on, when you read that, oh, you swoon at those names, Jordan and Bart and Malone.
And Magic.
But listen here now, and Magic running the show.
Still
Wait,
in his prime.
Who's this year's five?
You got LeBron James. Let's start there. Then
okay, that's a one.
You
would
talk
three.
About a rim protector. I know he's one dimensional, but DeAndre Jordan has no business in this conversation. Yeah. But all right,
Akeem would beat him 35-0. Like to me, that's the weak link. Like yeah, that's where that team just wrecks him.
You'd have to put Cousins.
Yeah, you'd have to put Cousins in there.
What about Anthony Davis?
Well, he's not on the list.
Not on the list. Not on that one.
Yeah, he wasn't first or second team last year. But I mean. Are we sure about Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook aren't going to be able to handle themselves in that mix? They're going to.
Yes,
that's,
I'm sure.
We got to remember what Magic's what 6'8"?
6'9".
6'9". Steph
Magic was a steal guy. He wasn't Magic wasn't an actually solid defensive player.
About,
he has nice stats.
Think about the way Steph Curry puts his shot up.
Yeah,
if you have
different,
a 6'9" guy that
so
can just
different.
Put his hand like it's hard to get that space.
Yeah, the space is really different.
To me, it's offensively. The 2016 team would have to play, I think. I think the 89 team would dictate pace, and that's where I think it becomes a blowout, is with defensively and offensively. I mean, you can post. Think about it. You want to post up Jordan? You want to post? Think about how deadly Jordan was in the post-up game, right? So either who's on him? Who covers
Westbrook.
Him? Steph or Westbrook?
Westbrook.
Jordan
yeah, good
destroys
luck.
Them.
Good
I mean,
luck.
Destroys
good
them
luck.
In a post-up isolation game. And if he misses – you're telling me that Akeem's not going to establish position on DeAndre Jordan? Like, to me,
Charles Barkley coming
that, Barkley,
there.
Yeah. That,
Barkley, yeah. It's
that's
defense.
A tough one.
Defense makes the big difference.
I'd feel,
also, but
I think,
here's another one, though, to legitimately – I mean, again, I am a huge LeBron guy.
Also, where's
so
Kawhi Leonard in that?
He's just not on the team.
I don't like that.
You said,
I don't like that team.
You said Kawhi.
I said
Kawhi.
Okay, good. Okay,
I said him.
All right,
yeah.
I missed that.
No, I mean, listen.
Oh, Kawhi's on that team?
Yeah. He's going to – actually, he'll defend – he gets –
he
takes Jordan.
Or what was
no, he's first team.
He's first team.
He's
okay.
going to be – he'll okay. take Jordan.
Got it.
And
that's a little better, more fair than Steph and Jordan because
yeah.
that's
yeah.
not
– And LeBron can play literally any position other – I mean, if it got that bad, LeBron trying to match up with Akeem. Listen, Akeem is as we've talked about on this
like
show and beyond,
three.
To me is at minimum the most underrated center of all time and belongs in the conversation yeah. to top three or
one
four
One of the most underrated
history.
Players of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think that's who would be on him, though.
I'm just saying
no,
LeBron can do whatever
Barkley,
you want.
LeBron
can do whatever you want yeah. is the point. And he can
right.
get and he can bang on the offensive
but
glass for
I
you.
Think,
it's not like I mean these guys like again, this is what I'm talking about being precious about these guys from a generation ago. LeBron is going to be able to match up
correct.
With any
I,
of those
you
guys.
Said team,
I
think, though. You
and
didn't
best
say one on those. One, you said team.
I think the difference though is the type of fouls.
Yeah.
You have to remember the game was.
Are
much
they
more,
are they playing in 2017 or
are they playing
and are we meeting in the middle in 1998? What are we doing? When
I
are
don't
we playing
know
this?
The
like, because
sorry,
I
no,
think I think the fouls. I think the physicality of the game in '89. And I mean, granted, I just would watch like those you know the Pistons and the Bulls and the way like those guys were. Fouling each other.
Right.
It was like tackle football out there. Right. Like, that's
all
just
right,
what it
but
was.
Isn't that the same? Yeah, I
there
hear
was
you,
no flagrant. Like
So the best NBA players in 2017 and
so
this
wait,
basic
get,
time
finesse.
This time frame,
space,
they wouldn't be able to adapt to that.
Pace.
They would just be, well, we're lost.
No,
like
right,
if you
right
gave
now,
them 6 months or
but
whatever.
I don't, but I just don't think it's not about. It's a mindset. It's a different mindset when you go like now when you go to the paint. You know that the hardest, like, you'll get – if
your
someone brushes against you, it's going to be – yeah, and one.
All right, but I think LeBron and DeAndre and so on would be able to modify their games
Hold
to
on,
play that way.
Let me get it again. It's who's in the backcourt? Kyrie and Russell Westbrook are in the
yeah.
backcourt.
No,
LeBron
Kawhi.
And Kawhi are the forwards, and DeAndre's the center.
Steph and Russell Westbrook.
Steph and Russell.
In the back.
Okay.
So it's a way too small of a backcourt.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And Leonard.
But you have Kawhi and LeBron.
LeBron.
Defensively
and
could,
then
could
Jordan,
do some
but you
damage.
Could put Boogie up there instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's close.
I just don't think as a team that's a –
You just think that's that's just a whipping. That's a sweep or five-game series.
If you just give me, like, my favorite five guys against that 89 team, I'd be – like, if I could go – plus, I keep forgetting that Durant's on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So the fact that Durant's on that team does shake it up. You put Durant, let's say you play small and you go Durant, Kawhi, LeBron at your 3-4-5.
That's a little bit
That
more
could be
exciting.
Interesting. Like that could be interesting.
But
there.
It's pace, space,
yeah.
and finesse now.
Ah, I was hoping that rhymed.
I know. I'm sorry. Finesse.
There you go.
So this is what I'm really watching in the finals for this year, like in person. I want to know, and I love this debate amongst your friends, so the listeners can have this debate and come at us with it. I want to know who's better between Kyrie and Klay. Because Golden State Warriors fans will swear up and down, Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson. And I think maybe the rest of the world, or at least Cleveland fans, will be like Kyrie.
Well, I
100%.
I think they're two different players. Well, I think Klay is going to have to cover Kyrie, but that's going to take away from his offense a little bit. And the Warriors switch so much that they take advantage of Steph Curry's weakness. I mean,
who would you like? You're constructing your.
I'm from the Bay Area, so I'm going to be like Klay.
It depends. I mean, I think it's tough because they're totally
and they're two different.
They're different.
You know, Curry's the best one-on-one player in the NBA. So yeah. If you need to create offense, you need Kyrie. Like Kyrie and Steph wouldn't work in the backcourt.
No,
you know,
nope.
Not in that.
There was like Steph and Monte Ellis. That's why they had to get rid of one.
But I mean, the fact that Klay's on that team is what allows them to hide Steph. You know,
okay, so
you can hide Steph defensively
you can only
because
one
of Klay.
Them, trading him to a separate team.
Yeah, well, it's, I feel like that's – I know it's unsatisfying, but it's a state of the roster kind of thing. You know, it's what piece you need more. But one thing that history has smiled upon is my opinion – 18 months ago when I was going around all over NFL media and asking everybody, and everybody scoffed at me. I said, why would the Clippers, if you're Cleveland and you're this close and the window for LeBron at the time, to me, I thought, you better cash in now because there are other teams coming here. Trade, offer up Kyrie for Chris Paul. That makes you a better team. This is a year ago was my assumption. And people, why would the Clippers ever do that? That's laughable. Now it would have been a smart move for them to have made, right?
The Cavs, yes.
No.
The Clippers.
Clippers would have been better off having gotten Kyrie at this point.
I think both teams would be better. I do. I think, believe it or not, I think both teams, even as great as Kyrie is and his heroics in the finals, but just to have Chris Paul, he is so underrated.
Oh, having, I know, but he's at
Chris
the end
Paul
of it, I feel
to,
like, huh?
No,
got like a year
not
left.
Because defensively, he is here and Kyrie's here, like defensively. So I think you put him in the backcourt, and all of a sudden, J.R. Smith becomes a better player. Kevin Love becomes a better player. That's the difference. With Kyrie as a creator, you know, he is a one-on-one creator. Chris Paul is.
That's why Blake Griffin and Chris Paul not necessarily as good of a fit. I think that they don't reinforce each other.
Hey, before money gets out of here, and then Maurice, I have a quick question for you. We've been playing a little game of life kind of. It
really, you're going to put this on me and I got 5 minutes left?
That's
game
right.
Game of life.
Right, real quick, we got to do this here. We're going to modify this one for money and music because money, if you know, he's not, you know, that's why I say he's a Renaissance man because he can talk about, he can talk NBA with you. He can talk about U.S. history with you. I wish we had time to talk about the state of politics in this country. Something else that maybe I was more right than
third
money
rail,
was.
My man. Third rail.
But maybe I was maybe I wasn't as crazy as you thought I was in November.
No,
I don't want to get into
no,
it. Let's we won't talk about
it. That's a different path to go down.
That's another 2-hour show.
Exactly.
All right. Here's a nice 3-minute show for money, and then Maurice, you're getting this question. But this is a music one specifically for a music wizard, a guy who once worked in the music
the
industry.
The accolades Matt he Money's piles on me.
That's
love
nice.
It. Wizard.
Listen,
yeah.
I want to so I'm going to give you. For, I kind of want you to do your own here, but I'm going to give you my own in honor of the passing of Greg Allman, or in memory of Greg Allman. Eat a Peach has always stood for me as one of the five best albums that I've ever
sure.
owned.
You have something with peaches, though.
That's true.
You do.
I love a peach. That's
never mind the contents of, what was that, probably 1971, I would guess, Allman Brothers, 71, 72. Anyway, go ahead.
What do you mean the contents of?
Never mind the discography, the fact that it's got a peach on the cover and you like peaches.
That's why I like
this album so
and
much.
And what Dwayne Allman was referring to when he said he, you know. But anyway, that's look that one up,
yes,
kids.
Ain't that a peach.
Anyhow, he always ate a peach when he went back south, he said. But anyhow, he, because he's, you know, he cares about
from Georgia.
Yeah.
Supporting the local industry. So I would say that's one of the five best. Now I'm going to give you this.
One of your five favorite albums ever.
Yes.
Okay.
You can, the when I give you the whichever one you put in the first position, you can listen to for the rest of your life anytime you want.
Okay.
Second one, you can only listen to once every 3 weeks.
Okay.
The third one, you can only listen to once every 3 months.
Okay.
The fourth one, you can never listen to again.
And these
Oh, like you.
I can't even do this with you because these have to be your own. What are your four favorite bands?
Four favorite bands?
And
okay,
do them
so
in that
if
order.
If I want to listen to something at any given moment, number one would be The Grateful Dead. That's because that fits any occasion.
That's your
for
number
me.
One.
That would
wow.
be number one.
Amazing.
At right. any time. I can only listen to them every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I do get a hankering.
And by the way, you can never listen to any music ever again outside of these.
Outside of these three, yes.
This is it. These are your three. So The Grateful Dead, you're never listening to – you're never going to hear a Blink 182 song
that's
again.
Fine. I'm fine with that. The second
the
one –
Green Day song.
Nickelback.
The second
Sum 41.
One would be the hardcore band I've talked about on the show before, Naked Ray Gun from okay. Chicago. I need that every 3 weeks, my Chicago hardcore. And then, believe it or not, the third, I think God, this third one's tough because this is my last one. Outside yeah. of this, I'm done.
And you're only going to get acquainted with it every once in a while. It's not like you're checking it out.
Yeah, this is every few months I get son of a – man, you really put it on me here. Now I'm just vamping because I don't
I
know what the
Cindy
hell to say.
Cindy and Maurice are ready with their responses.
Yeah, no kidding. I am drawing this out. Third, what do I want to listen to? You know what? I'd probably go, even though it makes me sad to say it, I'd go Elliot.
Dave Matthews.
Elliot Smith. Would be my would
really
be, yeah would be my third.
Who's Elliot
wow.
Smith?
So, Elliot was a singer songwriter from Portland who was in a band called Heat Miser, and he was a great solo musician that I worked with and went on tour with for about a year.
No Creedence Clearwater.
No CCR.
Is that right? You toured with Elliot
yeah.
Smith?
Yeah, I did EXO. I did EXO with him at DreamWorks.
Wow,
and,
I had
awesome.
No idea. I've but never heard
like,
you reference
that's
that.
That's like. I don't know. So the other, what about the other bands?
It's kind of like, I mean, the best way I describe it to people is maybe just think like a little bit of Simon and Garfunkel is kind of what Elliot
I
was.
Know, I don't even know what that is.
Really?
I don't know any of the bands. Yeah,
those should be my
about.
Three. All right, how about it? How about
well,
it,
here, let me just say this.
What do you have?
I wrote down "Eat a Peach." I wrote "Perfect from Now On." My favorite "Built to Spill." It's a
so you did
record.
You did albums. You did yes. not do bands.
"Physical Graffiti" by Led Zeppelin. Is
okay. Well, there you go. There's your three.
Ramones,
all right, who's up?
Ramones.
Excuse me. It's number four. Yeah. I don't want
to.
Or fourth.
You can't listen to it.
You gave
again.
Me three, and you said I get
Cash
to listen to nothing
the,
again.
With yeah. the at Folsom Prison, Life's Rich Pageant.
Now you're just trying to show off.
No, I'm just. I was trying to figure this out. I would go. Okay, so if it's band specific, listen to it anytime I want. It would have to be Led Zeppelin. Would
okay.
be number one. Number two, once every 3 weeks. I need. I feel like I skew. Negative, and so I need sunny music to boost my spirit sometimes.
No
so I'm going to go Allman Brothers there because okay. I think they do it, but maybe Skinner, though, too. Not that they're as – they don't put you as in happy a place.
You got to think about the end, you know? A little bit of a heavy deal.
Yeah, it's tough.
And then Built to Spill. I think Built okay. to Spill would have to
– Let's go Canada.
It's every 2 months, 3 months. Well, Boise, Idaho, but yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Wow. Shame on me.
Money, while you think about Maurice.
You want me to go?
No. Cindy, go ahead. I was going to throw one more thing, but Money has to go. You
yeah.
go, Money. We don't want to hold you up.
Okay. Sorry, I have
go
to go.
Money.
I got to do that
radio I could go
show.
Another 20, 30 minutes.
We'll do it again.
Easy on this. So, okay.
I wanted Money to hear mine. He would have liked
go.
It.
Go. What is it if you got him already?
All right.
As
so
I'm packing.
Is it artist or is it
artist?
Your answers
okay,
are not
so
written
first,
down on my
no,
page.
No, first. Murray. No, that's so what I'm trying to figure out. Is it just... albums or his artists?
Artists.
It's artists.
So, every day.
So right now, I'm into this whole Drake mode. Like, he's okay. talking
whoa.
About success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has me going, has some nice melodies where he's rapping too. I feel like.
You want to listen to Drake daily?
Oh, every day.
Okay.
It just gets my day going the right way.
All right, that's 2017, but is he going to stand the test of time? This is the rest of your life.
I think he will. I think some of his songs, they really, you know, where I'm going right now and where I want to be, I think
I see.
Okay.
He's telling me.
All
like,
right.
He said a line
okay.
like something like, I'm not trying to be rich when I'm 40, I'm trying to be rich now.
I see.
I respect that.
Got it.
Then I would have to go to an album. I'd have to go to The Chronic.
Oh,
I need
that's
that West
great,
Coast, that old school
yep.
West Coast. Yeah, it's a, that was
how about,
Dr. Dre.
How about The Chronic over Life Is Too Short, by the way? Shame on you,
no,
Mr. Bay Area.
Because wait, you can't do that because then I would go to one song. One
and
song is called Cocktails by Too Short.
There you go.
There you go. That's every 3 months. I just got to get that in me, get my ratchet
say,
in me.
Man, you better make sure he's on there.
He's in
you
there.
Better make sure he's
on
there.
Or I'd go with a guy by the name of Mac Dre.
There you go. Mac Dre.
Mac Dre.
I thought you were
going to
say E-40, but you went Mac
I
Dre.
I could do E-40. That's my yeah. neighbor. But, I mean, I feel like I hear that just walking outside. Like,
you
that
left
would be...
some 41 out, Maurice. Want to do it again?
Speaking of Canada, that's a Canadian man. All right.
I don't know about some for
there he goes. The
I
great Matt Money Smith, everybody.
Cynthia, I will listen to your response on the way out.
Perfect. You can hear it. Ready?
Cindy, nope. I want that. And then we got the big question for Cindy and Maurice. The life version of this question will also be a fascinating result. I already know that. Go ahead.
Tribe Every Day.
Tribe Called Quest.
I like
love.
It. Like that.
Yeah. Okay. My album that I would, whatever, every 3 months, Nirvana Unplugged. Amazing album. Totally underrated.
What about every 3 weeks, though?
Every 3 weeks, Nirvana Unplugged. The one a little bit, take a little longer, the entire Chris Cornell acoustic set. Anything.
Oh, we didn't get Money's thoughts on the passing of Chris Cornell.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me. I, like, mourned it. I was a big Chris Cornell, like, big time. So sad.
I'll tell you what, I mentioned this the other day. I mean, people always turn remembering people who just pass into their own memories. That's a weird human habit, but I'll do it now. One of the coolest things that ever happened to me working at the NFL was we went up there for the NFL kickoff 2 seasons ago after the Seahawks had won the Super Bowl, or 3 seasons ago, and they were starting the season against Green Bay. The day before, we had to rehearse something or other, so I had to go over to the stadium, to the Clink, and middle of the day, and I walked there from my hotel because Seattle was sunny and lovely, and it's a great walking city. So as I'm walking, I get a few blocks away, you're hearing music, and you think, it's so Seattle that you can hear a band that sounds like Soundgarden. Wow, that doesn't just sound like that's coming out of a bar or anything. That's the middle of the day. That's a Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever. That's a live band playing. Oh, it's a cover band doing Soundgarden. That's kind of a neat thing. And as I get closer and closer, like, oh, that's Soundgarden. As I get, they're rehearsing in front of the Clink.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of cameras trying to, you know, they were rehearsing, and so there were shooters there, you know, getting ready for the kickoff performance. And there was one other person there and me standing there watching them run through, outshined and beyond.
Who's Soundgarden?
Soundgarden?
Remember Black Hole Sun from when we were little?
Oh, that, you know, that I, you guy, know where yeah. I got that one from? That's on Rock Band.
Yeah.
That's how I know that.
Nice. that's I how wanted I know those to put songs. In there, like, I went to a really great Rage Against the Machine concert, too, and that'd be, like, every once in a while. And then I like me some rap, too. So, I mean,
Tool's tough for me.
Notorious.
Because I wanted to go Tool.
Really?
I went to a Tool concert. I actually went to a Motley Crue concert one time.
Oh.
And Poison.
Go talk to Fabiano about that. He'll love that noise.
Well, that's a totally different story. But they let off, I mean, the only thing, they let off M80s.
Wow.
They were letting off bombs in that place.
Seems safe.
I know that's not my scene. I can't imagine it's your scene.
Everybody was painting their faces. I went with a friend.
Weird.
I fell asleep during it, too.
That's okay. I fall asleep in epic places,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I do something.
That's pretty good. All right. Now let's go to the main event here, which is the one we've been doing over the last 6 weeks or so. I'm going to start with you on this, Maurice. I'm going to give you 4 things that I consider to be really important to most human beings. You tell me, whatever you put in first position, anytime you want it the rest of your life.
All right.
Second position, once every 3 weeks. Third position, once every 3 months. Fourth position,
never.
You never get it again.
All right.
Ready? Here we go now. Everybody ready?
I'm ready.
Cindy, I want you making your list, too.
I'm ready. I'm just confused about the fourth one really quick. So it's something I'd like to get rid of.
You'd have to.
You have to. It's not a choice. You're not going to want to get rid of any of these things, I don't think.
Well, why would I pick something good, then?
I'm going to give you the
Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Here we go. Ready? Look, Maurice is seeing Sully back behind the glass,
Sully,
yelling out Tennessee.
You know, Sully had to cut half his head and half his face off, but he didn't do it.
For what?
Hair.
He lost the
hair.
Bet.
What bet hair. Was this?
He'll tell you right now.
No. It wasn't half and half.
It was half and half.
It was just shaving my head. I had to shave my head after the Vols didn't win the East.
He said.
So why didn't you do it?
I did.
No, he didn't.
Where's your honor, sir?
And he just shaved half his. He's supposed to shave the eyebrow.
MJD made that up.
The mustache and the beard.
The original. I stuck to the original bet. It was shaving heads.
I want one half of your head looking like Josh Dobbs.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Hairless.
I went and shaved my head the day of the SEC title.
Sully has no honor. He wouldn't make it. And he wouldn't
Game
make
of Thrones.
It.
No, it
he
wasn't.
Make it
was, it wasn't half and half.
All right.
It wasn't half
we
half.
Do have to talk about that too, Game of Thrones. But let's do this, what we were just about to do.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
You know what the standard is. You too, Cindy. Here we go. Here are your 4 items. TV, sex, pizza, booze. Go.
Sex in the one hole.
No question.
Kyle Brandt. Kyle
every
Brandt
day.
Sex in the one hole.
Yeah, we'd go with sex in the one hole.
Sex has to be there for the rest of your life. You've made your children. What else is there to do now?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have that.
Okay.
You got to have that
All
release.
All right. I respect it.
You see, I'd throw away liquor.
No booze.
No, I'm okay with that. I'm cool.
All right. That's
what, and then you said TV would have to be 2.
Once every 3 weeks.
Because, I mean, literally. I'd have like TV is and sex are like they're battling because I'm a Game of Thrones kind of guy.
I know
it's like hard.
I went
hard.
TV, believe me. Guess what was number four for me? Sex. Goodbye.
No way.
That's it.
Crazy.
And by the way, what if I made pizza instead? What if I made it all Italian food?
Oh my goodness, that changes everything.
No, that doesn't change. I mean, I'm okay with Chinese food. Mexican food.
You better be real good with it.
I'm cool with it. Okay. I don't need. I mean, pizza's okay.
And that's so.
I told you I went vegan for like 3 weeks, so I could do this. Not bad.
So booze is gone, and then you're gonna get your pizza slash you know all Whatever. Italian food once every 3 months.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Cindy,
this is very difficult.
I'll let you know. I can't answer it really because if anybody actually said this to me and they said, all right, well then you die now if you don't live by these. The second you stop living by these, you disappear from existence. I don't know what I would do without TV or booze. I mean, I don't know. Like those two things like, I wouldn't I be able
like,
to get by.
I feel like sex has – because you have to have somebody with you at all times. Like, because I don't want to be – I hate being alone.
I right? agree.
So
but
you have to have that. At least I have someone that I can talk to, right? And we
That makes me sad. Like, right? Well, because of course you – I mean, you don't have to have sex to talk to someone, right?
But he said forever, like – So forever. It's either TV, you're watching TV for the rest of your life.
I hadn't really thought about the fact, yeah. Well, I maybe, you know who might not like that answer so much? 71-year-old Maurice. 71-year-old Maurice ain't going to be worried Check. About.
Can I say, because I know this is going to sound bad.
Sexing people. He's going to be worried about watching the show.
I'm going to tell you what. I was watching the news, and they had this 100-year-old guy on there. And my thought process was like, can he still get it up at 100? Does that? Yes. I mean, does that like? Doesn't that concern you? Like,
I think when I said goodbye to it, I made it four, so it's not my concern anymore.
You said, "Oh my gosh."
Cindy, go ahead.
TV first.
TV first. All right.
TV first. We work on TV. We have to pay the bills.
We have
right?
to, right? Yeah, you're gonna get a whole new career otherwise.
Okay, so TV. What was it? TV, sex, pizza, and
booze.
Ugh. Okay, so I guess TV. Booze.
Tell you what.
Sex then pizza. I don't know because
goodbye pizza. Everybody says goodbye
every
to
3 months,
pizza.
Man, that,
that's why we have to modify this MVP because the pizza alone is not seductive to people.
No.
We have to make it all Italian.
Honestly,
food.
If you live in LA, there isn't very many good spots for pizza, so you're really not. You're handicapped by being in LA.
First of all, people say that all the time. There are good pizza places.
Yeah, Papa John's.
Oh,
meh. I think the pizza out here leaves a lot to be desired.
I agree. It's not as good. But there's some fancy place. You just got to go fancy. You got to go to Moats.
You guys have to have – we have to understand. So if it's just – for every day, it's just you and the TV every day.
I want TV available whenever I want it.
You still have the rest of the complement of your – I'm –
You still have, like, still your life partner with you?
Yeah, you can talk to people.
Yeah. You just don't get to – you don't get to make your glorious love any longer.
You know, I always go back to Game of Thrones, and the bigger your family is, the better off you are. If you remember the guy,
you can adopt
the wildling. No, the wildling guy that
the
had
redhead.
Like, no, the guy that would give his he would have the daughters, and then he would give
right.
So you have to have a.
But if you're having sex every 3 weeks, you could have a family still. You can really only get pregnant a couple days a month. Newsflash.
The doctor didn't tell me that. It seemed like every time I went to training camp. I came back and I had a baby.
Me, Maurice, Antonio, Cromartie, some of us are gifted in certain ways.
Well,
some of us know how to come
woman,
through in the clutch.
As a woman, you really, I mean, if you're really only worrying about procreating, then the 3 weeks really isn't that limiting.
Well, in Game of Thrones, you're not really limited to one partner, though.
Well, for a guy, multiple. So I'm. That's
let's perfect. Shift this conversation now to Game of Thrones quickly. We're coming up here now, Maurice.
Did you see the last? Update when they did it, she was like, "We have enemies in the south." I almost cried.
Well, Cindy, you're a Game of Thrones fan,
I am,
right?
I am.
We have to figure this out, and I keep saying it, and it's going to sneak up on us, and then we're all going to be sorry. It is time to figure out. Not, I don't mean in these next couple minutes, but we need to figure out the rules and the participants in our Game of Thrones fantasy league.
Okay, so first of all, if we're going to do it,
we're doing
if we're
it.
We're going to do this. Let's do this right. We have to do a snake draft.
Okay.
We can't have the one person pick first every round.
Sully, is he there? Or MVP, do you remember the rules that were like?
I remember it was you had to die. It was somebody that if your character died,
Do you get a lot of points for dying or bad?
No, minus points for dying if your character died.
But then
if your character killed or just anybody, like a random person, they got 1 point. If they killed a major character, they got 5 points. And if they had sex, they got 2 points.
Is that how it went there, Bartlett behind the glass?
Yeah, you drafted a character from each tier. You had your top tier Jon Snow, who's real active, and then your fifth tier the kind of role
Wan and yeah.
Should we do a snake draft or do we raise the stakes and do a auction?
Ooh, I like
auction league.
Sully has another idea.
We're not listening to him.
This better be good, Sully.
I'm not.
I said we do a Deadpool.
A Deadpool?
Yeah, Deadpool.
Too simple.
So it's because we were sitting here trying to count up how many deaths there are in those big battle scenes. There can be a lot of big battle scenes.
What was the big controversy? Is who killed? Oh, yeah, we had a
who
big controversy last year.
Well, it was because remember,
Cersei
they
blew
locked,
up everybody.
No. Remember they locked the doors.
Yes.
And old girl came out. She set them all on fire, and she didn't burn. But then we felt like we should have got some
points because the guys who barred the doors were also part of that.
It was the same thing too with us in the battle scene at Winterfell too. Like we had the Knights of the Vale that came in and we had Un too, and we didn't.
Knights of the Vale?
We did.
Really?
Yeah, and we didn't like.
But
there's
they didn't
no way
show,
to quantify
show you guys
what
killed anyone.
Like, they just give us 3,000 points.
Here's
just,
the other. Like, here's
how,
the other. Okay,
that?
So we have to figure
Deadpool,
out the scoring. We'll sit. I like. Okay, go ahead.
Deadpool. So we're at the end of the season. Whoever has the least amount of people standing wins. Like you're basically betting on your team to die.
I don't like that. That's either you're choosing people to.
It's definitive. It's definitive.
I know, but who wants what? So the death of people is that's a mixed thing. That's like people. I don't care.
I just want to say this. I don't know.
You want the most people? At minimum, it would have to be you have the most people still alive. I don't think you don't want to root for your favorite character
to die.
Demise.
Right. It'd have to be. I just feel like I hope Ramsay comes back as a White Walker.
Ooh.
Because then that would just make my whole day. I mean,
but we need to be able to you should be able to get a lot of points for calling something like that. Like,
yeah, we got it. But and the other thing we have to figure out is who, because there are a lot, legitimately, there are a lot of people here and in the football community that want in on this league. They've
heard
a hail of it.
Do you know this like blew up? It was like talked about all over the world.
So now you can't not do it.
No, we're definitely doing it, but who are we extending invites to?
No, nobody. Just the people that we started with.
Really? You don't want to get some NFL fancy pants in there? I know one Rich Eisen wants in on this league.
I know a lot of people want to in, but you got to be in the beginning.
Okay, but we only had like 4 people.
No, we didn't. We had 7, right?
I don't know.
We had a lot of people.
Cindy Freeland wants in?
Yeah, we had 2 different groups, though, of producers.
Yeah,
that
we had 2 different groups. We had myself, you, Handsome Hank. We had Ike. Because remember, someone took I took Wan and he died. Damn, Ramsay.
Wan.
How do you kill a giant? Like, there's no possible way that happens.
I did. You saw it with your own eyes.
I did.
I you know what? Maybe you and Ike could be a team. Because Ike, I'll be honest.
No, Ike was just picking.
Ike didn't know what he was talking about.
Oh, I can help him.
Yeah, he had no sense.
I mean, we could. You wonder if, but I don't think there's enough characters. So what are we gonna have it like?
Oh, you're right. That's right.
Is it gonna have it like where somebody, both 2 people can have Jon Snow then?
No,
like
no
is
doubling
it be one of those leagues.
Because then we could hedge.
You're right.
It.
Who? How many? Right.
Right.
Practically, how many can you have?
Yeah,
because then we could hedge it, and that wouldn't be.
There aren't 45
except for me
noteworthy characters. All right, we got to get on it though. That's the bottom line. We better figure this out and soon, or else we're all gonna be sorry. You know,
winter's coming.
Winter is coming in the summer, like I said last week. All right, now let's synthesize. Oh, before we synthesize it, this is something we do now. See, synthesizes things for us, Maurice, here.
You know, like that.
It's presented, as usual, by MeUndies. You've perfected your wardrobe. That's plain by looking at you, Maurice. But what about the stuff not everyone gets to see? What's MeUndies? Oh, it's seriously soft. Feel-good undies delivered right to your door, Maurice. They're made here in L.A., sustainably sourced, micromodal, A fabric, 3 times softer than cotton. I've touched it. I've worn it. I can attest to the veracity of that statement. Guess what? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. If you don't want the subscription, so be it. But when you order, you get 20% off your first pair. Just use the special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017. Again, 20% off your first pair, MeUndies.com/NFL2017. Now it is time on the heels of Maurice.
Whoa, hold on.
What?
You have your own,
underpants.
But that's what is that called that you just did?
His own toss.
No, not
his own
toss.
Read. His own read.
Promo read.
You have your own promo for this?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, not just for synthesizing, but we've attached it to this. But yeah, that's kind of the truth.
No, like for his, for the podcast.
But that's Maurice, we got a lot of good things cooking for EDFP coming up and beyond.
This is unbelievable.
We got a lot of good stuff happening here. You're going to synthesize for us on the heels, Maurice. Last time Cynthia paid us a visit, she mentioned Matt Stafford and likened him to one Ben Roethlisberger.
Just in one stat.
I know.
Yes, come on now.
But this got a lot of heat on social media.
I saw that. I saw that. I retweeted it.
Today,
we talk about. We're going to talk about DeAndre Hopkins. Because, you know, as I'm starting to put together my thoughts for the draft, and by draft, I mean the fantasy draft, of course, coming up. I got to beat you guys this year. I'm going to pay attention to our NFL Network League, maybe. maybe.
Are you doing that game? Is that your bit? No. Months later? Oh, I didn't pay attention. I never tried anyway.
No, do you want me to be honest here? Because I'm going to get in trouble for saying this.
Say
but
it.
Like three different times, I tried to use the app and switch out people from my bench and not. It never worked. So after it didn't work for the third time, I was like, screw this. And I gave Adam Rank all my good players.
I remember that.
Whoa.
I was there when that happened.
The red wedding.
It did not make people happy, but it wouldn't work. Like I would switch them out on a Saturday, which was the day before, and I would switch them out.
All right, you were acting out of anger. What was Rank's angle on this?
Fabs.
Outrageousness. Outrageous deed by Rank.
That. You remember that. We were going at it.
Yeah, it was like a thing. Now. It was like a thing.
All right, Cindy, lay it on us. Synthesize DeAndre Hopkins.
So I've been looking at DeAndre Hopkins. If you think about like the top wide receivers, the elite ones, the guys you want to draft first in your fantasy leagues, they average about 15 yards per reception. And DeAndre Hopkins actually did this even when he had four different quarterbacks before last season. So if you look at like even 2015, when he had four different guys, and Hoyer, by the way, isn't a bad quarterback, he averaged 2.0 yards after contact or yards after the catch per reception, and he had about 13.7 yards per reception. So not a great season. Last year, 2016, went down even worse. He had a little bit more yards after the catch, 3.6, but he only had 12.2 yards per reception. So what I'm thinking is going to happen this year, especially with Watson and giving Tom Savage a little bit of a chance to actually like learn the playbook and develop some chemistry with him, I think that number goes up to 15 – right around that 15 number that we see with the number ones on most teams. The reason why, one, Watson played with receivers who they played more jump ball. Watson's receivers did not run precise routes at Clemson. That wasn't their game. They were great receivers, don't get me wrong, but so is DeAndre Hopkins, right? So in Bill O'Brien, he's going to have a chance to work with both quarterbacks, Tom Savage and with Deshaun Watson, to get them in the position to develop the chemistry, to run the routes. And DeAndre Hopkins is a very special route runner. He's very precise. He gets where he needs to be, creates separation, does all the things that you name when you have like a number one wide receiver. So for me, I think we see him 15 to 16 yards per reception and about more like 5 yards after the catch per reception, because that reflects running different types of routes, not just the ones that we ran last year. So my case is when you're making your fantasy draft, when you're going with your own fantasy draft stuff, you should consider him right up there. Maybe he's not Julio Jones, but He's not who he was last year.
I hear you. I agree with that. In fact, I would expect a big bounce back from DeAndre Hopkins. The fact is, though, correct me if I'm wrong, he's gone, you know, glimmers of, you know, showing signs.
Well, they used to
injuries.
Target him like a bajillion times, right? He was getting like 13 targets per game. That's kind of
as his blow up
crazy.
Now, little regression, Will Fuller.
Oh,
plus,
I hate the word regression.
Is Jalen Strong a candidate to ever
Braxton
deliver
Miller?
Or no? Is I mean, what's that?
Braxton Miller?
And Braxton Miller, too. And, you know, you throw Lamar. This seems like a very dangerous.
Well, Lamar Miller helps.
Yeah, it seems like a very dangerous collection of weaponry. The question, obviously, is, and they're different guys, is Tom Savage or Deshaun Watson? Let's start there. Who do you think gets the gig when week one rolls around here, Murray?
Week one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Watson.
Week one, close. Tom Savage.
I'm with Marie.
Tom Savage has been there for 3 years.
Tom Savage is a good. He's a good backing up quarterback. But I think maybe week one we see. It depends on learning the playbook is harder than I think we give them all credit for.
No, it's not hard.
Well, you know, but
learning the playbook is not hard. I mean, Tom Savage, you've been there for 3 years, and
You played well against the Jaguars. I'll give you that. But after that, he was just like, eh. I mean, when teams got the chance to look at him, he couldn't adjust to what teams took away, like his number one read, his number two reads.
Right.
That's his issue. You have to go with the young guy because you traded up for him. He gives you more promise. Even though I don't like it, even though I say don't play him, they have to because they gave up too much in the draft.
This is a conversation we've had about any number of other guys too, but isn't other teams and where they are and how they're put together outside of the QB spot, don't you owe it to that roster? Don't you owe it to J.J. Watt and this defense that has a chance if J.J. Watt is right at the start of the season or close to it?
Defense was good even without J.J. Watt, so it's ridiculous.
That defense is loaded now. I mean, officially ready to dominate just about anybody across from them. And we mentioned those offensive pieces. Don't you owe it to your team to say – I mean, is Tom Savage a guy? The question I always ask.
You owe it to your team to play the one you think is going to win.
No,
Tom Savage is not the guy that's going to scare the other side.
I think the question is if you're a head coach, GM, and otherwise, if you're a real bum roster, really far away from winning a Super Bowl, it's another thing. But if you're the Houston Texans as constituted in the AFC as it looks right now, this is a team that could go to a Super Bowl if they get competent QB play. If you start Tom Savage, you are saying to your roster, we're not going to the Super Bowl this year. Right? I mean, isn't that,
I don't know if
isn't
I
that
like
the
that.
Answer?
I feel like I that's why the that. Chiefs went up and took Mahone. They felt like they've given Alex Smith everything he can, and he hasn't delivered.
The results are almost inarguable. The worst QBs to win Super Bowls in the 21st century.
Wait.
Since Brad Johnson wins the Super Bowl, eliminating that Buccaneers team that was defense dominant, and I know that maybe the Texans could be that, but you really have to have things break right for you. The guys that have won the Super Bowl are always Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. These are the guys who win the Super Bowl. It's not a fluke, and Eli Manning. It's not a fluke that you need to have one of these top QBs. Tom Savage ain't ever going to be that. Deshaun Watson may or may not be, but at least if you roll with Deshaun Watson, you're saying to your team, we're shooting for the moon here. Our goal is Super Bowl. You cannot go into the locker room and be like, oh, yeah, we think Tom Savage gives us the best chance Twin Cities
February. Wait a minute. Let's put this into perspective with one thing that's actually true. You know who they open up with? A team that has a nasty, nasty defense that I might be a little scared of. Jacksonville Jaguars. So maybe
they're not afraid of the Jaguars.
I don't know.
They're not. I mean, at the end of the day, the Jaguars will be good if their quarterback doesn't turn the ball over. But the last couple of years, last 3 years, he's turned the ball over 16 plus times each year.
Right.
That's
so crazy. So does that mean you can give Tom Savage a start and Deshaun Watson to like a few reps and no?
Because when you're with, I'm gonna tell you,
it goes Jaguars, Bengals, Patriots.
I'll tell you the issue with quarterbacks. You have to decide who your quarterback is in training camp. You can't do this. We have a quarterback competition. That doesn't work with your team because now you're dividing your team. When you have two quarterbacks, the Chicago Bears, for example, half of them are going to like Glennon. The other half are going to like Mitchell Trubisky. Guess what? It's divided, right? You traded up to go get him, so you might as well play the young kid anyway. This is what you're going to end up playing him anyways. But when you go and draft a guy, you move up. I don't care what position it is. It could be quarterback. It could be center. When you move up one slot, you move up 12 slots. You move up 13 slots. You move up 20 slots. They have to play him. I was there in Jacksonville when we moved up five slots to go get Blaine Gabbert. The thing was for him to sit. No.
Wait. So you don't think Patrick Mahomes will sit too, just by that logic, or you think he will?
His situation is different. Okay. They win with Alex Smith.
Right.
Right.
Got it.
So when you have a really good defense, they've what the Houston Texans have done is the thing that I've always thought teams would do. You build everything else up, and then you place a quarterback in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. By the way,
I think he's a good quarterback.
I don't know if he's a good quarterback. I don't know because the system he played in college doesn't translate to the league. But you're like Sheck said, like if I'm on the team, I've seen Tom Savage for 3 years. You couldn't beat out Brock Osweiler. You couldn't beat out Brian Hoyer. You couldn't beat out Ryan Mallett. So what makes you think that you're going to give me a chance now to win the Super Bowl? Like that doesn't help me.
Maybe I would modify it with this. Maybe based on those first three games
Games are pretty nasty.
Maybe you throw Tom Savage to the Lions, and not the Detroit ones.
You let him get destroyed,
and then you say, you know what, we need a change.
But who are the Bengals, though? Like, let's be honest. Like, the Bengals defense isn't what it used to be. They're not that same team what they used to be. I think offensively they have weapons, but defensively, no. And the Patriots, to be really honest, the Patriots have lost a lot of defensive pieces in throughout everything. I know they got Hightower back, but yeah, I think you have an unhappy Malcolm Butler. That's going to hurt you no matter what. We have to remember we're not dealing with jersey number. We're dealing with people with emotions.
I mean, this is going down the rabbit hole, but you know what I would have done if I were in charge of – if I could play GM to all 32 and make my suggestions and say, let me consult for all you teams. Here's what I think would be a good idea. Yeah. Hey, Cincinnati Bengals, you should trade Andy Dalton. If you can find a team that feels like they're close and just needs a quarterback, say the Houston Texans. Send the kid back to Texas. Andy Dalton, you drop him in there. I think they would be okay. Turn it out. That's another – A.J. McCarron, enough with Andy Dalton, if I'm a Bengals fan.
I think, again, you have a situation where Andy Dalton is – he gets you right there, and then that's it. Right? That's so eventually he's going to be one of those guys where he can't – he was the Matt Ryan – before the Falcons made the Super Bowl, Matt Ryan was the guy that gets you right there, and then that was it.
The goal isn't getting to the Cotton Bowl. It's not getting to a BCS bowl game. The goal is to get to the Super Bowl. And if there's a guy in the building who has a higher ceiling, thereby meaning that your team's ceiling is higher, then you have to go with that guy. I mean, if you're close, if you're the Texans, this perennial playoff participant, always winning the division, but nobody ever fears them. There's not – And why? It's because of the QB spot. They maybe have solved it with Deshaun Watson. I think they got to go there. Anyhow, great synthesizing of DeAndre Hopkins, and I love Nuke. He's a guy who very
I love
often
Nuke too. Don't overlook yeah. Nuke. Was my takeaway from this one.
Great stuff, Cindy Freeland and Matt Money Smith.
You know,
everybody
people started tweeting at me, Cindy. Now
is that
they,
right?
They think that they are allowed to call me Cindy. No, that's just
and a what
check
a treat
thing.
To see Maurice Jones-Drew shadow the door. Look, Mark Brady's wrapping us up. He's got the hand over the head. Get the hell out of there. We got the superstars coming up.
He plays golf, too.
Really?
Yeah, hey, nice Brady, one. I got this one handled. I know how to handle it. Street justice. Satrials, I'll get him. Thin slice of heaven.